Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or consciously aging. I am passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say I'm out to retire the word retirement. We're not retiring, certainly not retiring from life, but we're moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I am interviewing Sally Fox. Sally is a writer, coach, performer who helps people find the stories that give meaning to their lives and a direction for the future. A professional writer, she writes regularly for Third Act magazine and the website 60 and Me. She's currently working on a book about thriving in the third act of life. A storyteller and performer, Sally recently entertained a multi-generational audience at Ignite Seattle with her piece, 60 is Not the New 40, How to Dump Denial. I love that. For more information about Sally, please refer to the bio attached to this podcast. Well, welcome to the series, Sally.
Thank you, Jan. I've really been looking forward to this.
Good. Well, I met Sally at the Saging International Conference about 18 months ago, and I was intrigued with your presentation, so I wanted to interview you to learn more about you and your work. And I loved, you know, the whole idea of storytelling and legacy work, and so we're going to explore that in more detail. So, you know, I say I'm out to retire the word retirement, and you say that retirement, you know, as an idea is an outdated story. Tell us more about that. I agree with you, but I'm not exactly sure how you define that. Yeah.
Well, a couple things. You know, I believe that sometimes we live within big stories and we don't even know how they got started. And so the story of retirement started in Germany 100 years ago, or more than 100 years ago, in a totally different situation. And then it got brought over to the States with the idea of Social Security and the idea that you, at 65, you stopped working. So that's what I call a big narrative. It conditions us in how we think. I grew up thinking that at 65, you stopped working. But who made that up? It was never true at all. And a lot of us, like you and me, we get to our 60s and we say, why would I stop working? I love what I do. Or I might shift what I do, or I might go in a different direction, but I want to refire. I want to get out there again. I want to keep going. I want to engage. So why would I ever use a word like retirement?
Right. I totally agree with you. I mean, it absolutely does not make any sense anymore. So, and I'm always amazed that some companies still have a retirement age. I mean, some companies do. It's amazing. Well, in your book, you're writing about the importance of engaging creatively as a key to thriving in the second half of life. And, you know, we all know that some people think, well, I'm not creative and, you know, I don't have a creative bone in my body. How do you deal with that? What if people?
Well, first of all, that is so not true. I mean, we have a soul, we have imagination. We're all born creative. We get layered over so that we forget how creative we are, and we get uncomfortable with the word. So a good friend of mine, I was talking about my book and how it's about really thriving creatively as we age. And she said, oh, Sally, don't use the word creative because I want to read it and I'm not creative. And I said, Jan, you're crazy, because her name was Jan as well. I said, the way she dresses is elegant. She puts so much attention into every detail. The way she presents herself is a creative masterpiece. She redesigned her kitchen and worked with contractors. The artistry that she put in was amazing. The problem I saw was that she had collapsed creativity and artist together. And she also had a picture of what an artist or creative should look like. And she's pretty elegant, so she didn't think she fit that picture. I am so upset that people have forgotten that we all have a right to creativity. And in fact, every morning when we get up, we're creating our day. We're making choices. We're deciding what we want to do, what we want to take on. So when I use the word creativity, it's really a way to freshly engage with life, with imagination and gusto.
I love that very much. I always take notes here to remember the important points here. When you talk about the hidden superpowers that we can develop during the second half of life, what's a superpower? And give some examples.
Sure. Thank you for asking. Let me give you a little bit of context, which I think you'll identify with, Jan. You know, a lot of times when you think about aging into the second half of life, people immediately think about everything they're going to lose. You know, okay, I might lose my money, I might lose my mind, I might lose my health, I might lose this. And, you know, they can give you a whole litany of what they might lose. Who's walking around and saying, what do you gain? You know, what is special about this time of life that you might never have known about until you cross the threshold of midlife? So I've been on an inquiry, and it's really fun to find out what gets better and what powers do we actually develop. There was a, I think, gerontologist and psychologist, Dr. Gene Cohen. You probably know that name. And he wrote about the mature mind. And, you know, the thing that he was telling us was that there are ways in which your mind actually gets better. And all we think about is, you know, oh, gee, I might lose a little memory or I can't remember my words. So let me give you a couple examples. Here's a superpower that applies directly to creativity. You get to a certain point in life and you feel like, dang, I don't have to prove myself to anybody anymore. You know, for me, when I got my doctorate, I taught at the university, I had a successful consulting career. And then I look back and I said, why am I still trying to prove I'm valuable? You know, I am valuable and I've done a lot. So I don't have to prove anything. Now, where that plays out with us is that I can go experiment. I can become a writer in midlife, and I don't have to worry about it because I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it to prove something to the world. And that gives me a power to try things that other people might not try because they're still caught up about having to, you know, show with their ego how great they are. I go, let that go. And then you can play and you can discover and you can use your creativity.
I love that. That's great. That's a great example. Kind of reframing. You're kind of reframing it, but in a very positive way. I love that. Well, I know that we can create.
Can I say one more?
Please add one more.
Because this one, I've been trying to articulate this because I know that a lot of women, particularly as they age, worry that they're losing their beauty. And I've heard supermodels who just say, nobody looks at me when I'm on the street anymore. And beauty and value, especially for some women, have gone right together. So the commercial industries have put forward billions of dollars of product to make us feel like we're not good enough. But if we buy a lot of products, we can try and sustain our beauty for a little bit longer. And I'm not against using products. You know, I can still dye my hair or do whatever I want to. But to do it because you don't feel like you're really beautiful anymore seems so sad. So I've looked at women, and I think you probably know women. You're one yourself who have this amazing beauty because they radiate something. So I say one of our superpowers is radiance. And radiance comes when you allow your inner beauty to shine and you're so confident in giving to the world and you're not absorbed in yourself in the way you might have been before, so that people feel it and they see you and they see your radiance. And that's absolutely beautiful. And who cares if your jowls are dropping or your teeth are crooked or you have some wrinkles, because I'm talking about myself here. If you use your superpower of radiance, you'll have everything you need.
That is excellent. I love it. And it's so true, because I often say when you meet a sage, you're not even thinking about how old they are. They're all sages in my mind sometimes are ageless. Because you're just so captivated by what you would call radiance. I would add wisdom. You're just so captivated by that, their presence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, I know that we can create legacy stories that help us present our past to future generations, but you tend to do something else. Talk about the power of stories to help us move forward as we age.
Well, I know there's quite a power in going back and looking at your legacy, writing up what you've done, writing up a piece of your history to share with other generations. And I highly recommend that. There are courses, as I think you've taken, and on legacy stories. But what I'm particularly interested in is the story that you're living, the story you tell yourself, because that story shapes how you live today. So if you have a story about aging is bad and old people aren't valuable, that's like kind of a meta narrative that you have. That's going to shape how you go out in the world and how you interact with people. So I think it's useful to go and look at what are the mindsets that we grew up with and the attitudes that we have about life from our culture or ourselves. So, for example, this is really funny because you, I have to tell one on myself. I was president of the local garden club on Vashon Island where I live. And when I joined the club, I scanned the room and I said, oh my gosh, there's so much gray hair here. And I tried to pick out the few people who had blonde or brunette hair because I thought, oh, they're the ones I want to meet. Well, when I saw my story and about how I was holding these amazing women, I had to laugh and say, oh my gosh, I'm actually ageist. Uh-huh. I'm actually discriminating against who I'm going to be, because these were fantastic women who had lived amazing lives and later went on to become friends, and that idea that they were less valuable just dissolved away. But I needed to see myself how I was carrying a narrative that not only disempowered them, but disempowered me. And I think a lot of us carry narratives like that around.
Yeah. And well, really, it is that internal ageism, you know, that is fabulous.
And there's another part of it, which I also really love with people. And this is where I love to work with people of my own generation, because a lot of times we get to a point in life and we feel like, oh, I didn't do enough. I didn't achieve as much as I wanted to do. I didn't contribute as much as I wanted to. It's kind of like a little gremlin that wants to talk to you all the time. Its mantra is not enough. Well, I can sit down and coach, I swear, almost anybody who's lived a big life and find more than enough. And so part of reviewing your story is to go back and find those jewels of what you did instead of worrying about what you didn't do, and really feel the way that you're enough, that you really matter, and that your contribution mattered, and that you still mattered, so that as you go forward in the world, you can go forward with the pride of, yeah, I did a lot. I'm proud of my life. There's some things I'm not quite as proud of, but I'm human, and isn't that great? And now, what do I get to do next? So by owning your own history and owning your past and seeing your own greatness, you kind of open a big door to stepping through it and creating the life that you want in the next chapter of your life.
That's excellent. Excellent. Well, you're also writing about practicing a creative life. What kinds of practices would support us as if we want to thrive?
Absolutely. Well, you know, athletes practice, and they know that if I don't keep working my muscles, they'll go weak. And so part of being a super athlete is that you keep going, you work your muscles. I think there's a muscle called creative aging, and we got to learn to work it. And if we don't work it, it'll also go weak. So I'm looking for practices. And one of them is keeping moving. You know, you could call it exercise, you could call it moving, you could call it dance. But looking at your life and saying, am I moving? Because if I'm not moving, that's actually a physical muscle that's going to atrophy. And if you want some inspiration, just read Twyla Tharp's new book, because she's still dancing late into her 70s. And ready to tell us that we should be moving. And then another practice, of course, is gratitude. You know, as we lose friends, as we lose capacities, we're going to feel some grief. So if we practice that muscle of appreciation and being able to see what we have at the same time we see what we may be losing and see the good in the world around us and feel grateful for the people in our lives and the people who are helping us, that is a muscle. The more you use it, the more developed it becomes and the more it lights up your life. So I have a list of those practices that I think make the difference in our life if we use them.
Right. These muscles make a difference if we use them. Otherwise, we'll lose them.
Otherwise, we lose them. And the other part of that is, and this I've worked with clients who are going into their retirement in the sense that they've left the structure and the stability of a job to which they were tethered for many years. And first response may be, oh, you know, I'm free. I have vacation. I don't have to wake up in the morning. Isn't that fantastic? And it is. And congratulations. It's wonderful. But then there's a second stage where people say, oh, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to sleep in, but I actually need a little structure in my life. I need to feel like there's something calling me forward every day. And there, I think it's a mix of having structures with, you know, like even when you get up in the morning and what's your morning ritual and what do you do right before you go to bed and things like that that you design. And also continuing to ask the question, what's calling me now? Because if you listen deeply, I think we can all hear the whispers of something that's calling us, whether it's to write a book or to spend time with our grandchild. You know, if we learn to listen, and that really is one of the powers of aging, if we learn and practice that, then until the end of our life, we'll be able to wake up every morning and ask the question, okay, what's calling me forward today? And how can I heed that calling?
Excellent, Sally. That's wonderful. Well, given all that you know, what else should I have asked you that our listeners need to know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you ask great questions, and we've talked about a lot. And I guess the final thing is just to be able to say that meaning matters.
Yep.
You know, I think it meaning matters as much as anything. And when people get much older than you and I are, that's what's left on the table, not how much money I have or what I've done. But have I created a life of meaning? Purpose also matters, but I have this thing about purpose. And my thing about purpose is that sometimes it can be like a mantra that goes flat or something that you put on the wall. So when I've been dancing with purpose recently, and I do think about it, I ask another question with it. I ask, can I make it pleasurable? And that really transforms it. Like, okay, I feel called to write a book, but how can I make the process of writing the book pleasurable? So, because I think at this stage in our life, Jan, we deserve a lot of pleasure and delight in life. So that one question, I think, can accompany the question of what's my purpose? You just say, okay, how can I take that and then make it pleasurable?
That is absolutely beautiful. That's great, Sally. Well, thank you. You know, you've given us so much to think about, and the emphasis in this series is on learning how to make the rest of life the best of life. And so my hope is I'll see you again at the next Saging International Conference, and we can connect in person. And until then, let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much, and you'll see me at Saging.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.